Merry Christmas, everybody. As you've already heard, I've been awake way too many hours already today. So I'm going to keep this as short and sweet as possible. So we have this Bible reading, which is probably not the most used Bible reading during Christmas time. Some of you maybe have even thought it was a bit random that to have what we did. But I have to admit, even though it's a really small account, it's probably one of my favorite bits of scripture. Like, I really like the whole story behind it, the fact that Mary has gone to visit Elizabeth, and almost the presence of Jesus, even in the womb, has made Elizabeth's baby jump, which is a really cool experience. And, you know, whenever you're thinking about these two babies that are being presented to us, we have Jesus and we have John the Baptist. It's a pretty dynamic duo of kids being had that year. I mean, the most dynamic, really. But so I just want to do a quick background for anyone that doesn't remember the Christmas story. We have building up to it, we've had Gabriel has approached Mary. He has let her know that she is going to bear a child that is going to be Jesus. We have Joseph having his encounter with an angel and having that whole dilemma of, do I marry her? Do I not? And, you know, going through that whole scenario. And then we find right before this reading that Mary has found out that Elizabeth is pregnant. If you read the story, you can see she's well beyond the age of being able to have children anymore. And yet, through God's grace, he's given her John the Baptist. But what a dynamic duo of babies. That must have been, you know, man, imagine, you know, you think you have a crazy Christmas. Imagine that one. I mean, but the weight that must have been on the shoulders of these women must have been pretty outstanding. And the humility that they must have had must have been outstanding. And how humble would you be? Now, it's a genuine question, because if you've ever met anyone, you know, raise your hand if you've met anyone famous. Anybody. It doesn't have to be super duper famous, you know, maybe not internationally famous, maybe local celebrity or things like that. And if you have met anyone famous, one of the things that you like to do is let other people know that you've met someone famous. It's one of the things that we like to do. We like to brag about it a little bit. You know, working where I used to work, we had somewhat minor celebrities kind of come in. And I had some friends who worked with much bigger celebrities. And every time they would go on tour or they would do anything that involved any celebrity or big name, they would come back and they would drop every single name under the sun of who was there at this gig and who did that and who, you know, I got a drink for Freddie Mercury. I mean, that'd be weird because he's way dead, but you know what I mean. But you have these two women who are incredibly humble. Just even in this short passage, we can see how humble they are. Mary says in verse 48, he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. In verse 43, you have Elizabeth saying, why is it that I am so favored? You know, these aren't women who were wearing, even though they had this weight and this responsibility of bearing these children, but they weren't ones that bragged about it either. You know, I can't imagine they were at the school gate to pick up and be like, well, my son's Jesus. You know, because it wouldn't make sense, would it? We have perfect Jesus and then braggy mother. And same with John the Baptist, because as you can see later on, that he took the Nazarene vow and that he was a man that was very disciplined and followed and made way for Jesus to come. But I don't know, but this time of year in particular, Christmas, looking at ourselves humbly is not something that we're programmed to do, is it? Raise your hand if you've ever made the nice list. If Father Christmas has ever come to your house and brought you a present, then you made the nice list at least once. Raise your hand if you've never made the naughty list. Father Christmas came every year.
Oh, Alan, you were right up. I've never been naughty.
But we don't tend to look at ourselves in a lowly state. We don't tend to look at ourselves and say, I'm the worst. I'm a horrible person. I'm a horrible this. I'm a horrible that. We tend to, especially this time of year, talk about how good we are. And we were programmed as kids to do that. Any Father Christmas visit, what we'd say, you know, have you been a good boy or girl this year? Knowing deep down that we haven't been that good. But I don't know about you, but every Christmas morning I thought, got him, the fool. I told him I was good. Does he not even know the things that I've done this year? Pulled a fast one on Father Christmas. But I don't. But whenever we look at it, and especially the standard, because if we're talking about Father Christmas's standards, they're pretty loose. Like, at what point does one actually get on the naughty list? Because I can remember a few years in school, wherever I ran away from school and had my parents and the police come pick me up. I remember that year very well. And I remember that Christmas, Father Christmas came. And I remember all the other horrible things that I did throughout the year. So the standard I don't know. Maybe it's different in America. But I don't know about you guys, but this time of year in particular, I don't want to look at myself and look at my mediocre goodness and think, you know what, I've done all right this year. Because on top of it being Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus, it's a good time to reflect as the year kind of winds down to an end. And as we kind of meditate on the year that's just gone by, I don't want to look at it and think, yeah, you know what, I did pretty good. Because the thing is with that is as we look at ourselves, if we look at ourselves and think, you know what, I've done pretty good, I've done all right for myself this year, or I've done all right for myself in my life, or things like that, what we're really doing is escalating ourselves and bringing Jesus lower down and saying, you know what, it's my strength and my abilities that I've been able to do these things. It's my strength and my ability that I've been able to get a promotion at work. You know, it's by my actions. It's by this, that, and the other. But really, it's simply down to the grace of God that we have those things. It's simply by the grace of God that we have the roofs over our heads, the clothes on our backs, the foods on our table, the presents under the tree. And if we're looking at all of these accounts, we have these two women who are incredibly humble, who don't brag about who they're carrying. They don't wear it as a badge of honor as such, but they feel the weight and the seriousness of who they're carrying. But then we fast forward a little bit and we have the birth of Jesus. And even in that state, humble state, you think about today, we had the news on this morning and they're already broadcasting the babies that were born on Christmas Day. And thinking about the nice hospital beds that the mothers get to sit in or lay in, the nice little, I don't even know what they're called, plastic box. It's still nice. It's better than a stable any day of the week. I don't know about any other birth scenarios, but the room that we were in was hotter than the surface of the sun. Nice heated room for being in the middle of December. People coming in offering food. But you have Jesus, creator of the universe, creator of you and me, being born in the most humble of states. In a stable, being laid in a manger, a trough for animals. But then if you think about it even more so, Creator, Sovereign God, coming down humbly to dependent baby. It's really hard to kind of wrap your brain around, really, of that you have the God who created babies. Who created life, that breathed life into mankind, coming in to be that form. the weakness that we are as humans, the frailty of our bodies, the pain that we feel, the fatigue that we feel, especially today. Coming in from being all-powerful God to defenseless tiny baby. Humble. Very humble. But he didn't just come to be a baby. And oftentimes, at Christmas time, we don't really move beyond the baby Jesus. Even in films often, you know, you can see that they a lot of times people will even pray to baby Jesus. But Jesus didn't stay a baby as we know. Jesus grew up to be a man, to die. But the thing is that baby state, the very beginning, Jesus came with the goal in mind that he was going to die. That he was going to bear the sin of the world on his shoulders. And that he was going to save sinners. And the reason that we have Good Friday is because of Christmas. And we shouldn't forget that. Is that as good as it is that we can talk about the baby Jesus, it's not the full story. And it shouldn't stop just simply at the baby Jesus part. Because as nice as it is, and as cute as it is, and sometimes a lot of us don't want to necessarily move on to the other part because it gets pretty ugly pretty fast. But the reality is that Jesus came as an offering, as a sacrifice for humanity straight at the beginning. The cute baby Jesus that was there before us, you know, one day he knew that he was going to be put on a cross. And that the story doesn't end there, but that he rose again. That gave us the gift of eternal life. Gave us an opportunity to be redeemed back to God. And he set a much better standard for us to be able to do. And the thing is that we can't meet his standard. And that's the beauty of it. Because it's not by our abilities, it's not by our strength, it's not by our doing, it's not by the badge that we wear of the good things that we've done. It's by the fact of the grace of God that we can come to him. It's by the death and resurrection of Jesus that we can have the ability to come before him in a humble state. I like that the story of Jesus does full circle. You have massive created God. Sorry. Massive creator God who then creates us, comes to be with us, dies, raises again, humble, 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 so we can be humble to come before him. So there's a song that I want us to listen to. It's a bit different. It's not your standard Christmas song. However, it still is a Christmas song. It's one of my favorites that I grew up listening to by a Christian pop punk band in the early 2000s. They released a Christmas album, and I remember thinking it's so funny that they've done that because it just doesn't seem like them. But they have this great song called I Celebrate the Day. And there's a line in the song that says, I celebrate the day that you were born to die so that I could one day pray for you to save my life. And I think it really wraps up the story of Christmas really well, of the fact that Jesus wasn't just simply born, and that's kind of it. He was born so that and lived so that we could be born again and live. So let's just, we're going to have the song. If you just listen and read the words and just kind of let them be a reflection time for this time of year. You know, as we're about to probably all go home and get into the craziness of cooking food and then the greatness of eating it. And then that turkey nap afterwards. Before we jump into that mental state, let's just take some time and reflect on the things that Jesus has done for us, the reason why we're here today, and the reason why we're able to come to God in the first place.